This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up. And when I fall down, and when I fall down, I have to pick myself up. Stand up for the champions, for the champions. Stand up, stand up for the champions, for the champions.
Stand up.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking, and most importantly, to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. Today I'm joined by a very passionate man that is the founder of an exciting new organisation that was launched very, very recently and is part of arguably the most amazing sport in the world. So I'm going to introduce you to Jason Toison-McSheen.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm well, thank you. Now, is that the right way to pronounce your name?
Yes, you said it perfectly.
It's perfect. Now, we're going to talk about the reason you're here is, I'm sorry, it's not the right supporter, not the right team that you should be supporting, which should be the Hawks. I know you're here to represent tonight.
Don't like the Hawks.
I know. So let's get some aggro in the studio, shall we? Joking aside, you are the founder of the Purple Bombers and one of only two in Australia, would that be right?
My understanding is worldwide. I don't think there are any real public LGBTI supporter groups in world sport. But you can correct me on that. That's my understanding after talking to the Pink Magpies a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes. So the Pink Magpies is the other group, and I think they've been around, and I'm sure somebody will correct me, but I think about 3 years, I think, they've been around, or maybe a little bit
even
more.
Even longer than that, yeah.
Even longer, yeah. So you've been around for how long?
1 week.
We have, I know. So we're not even in double figures. Now tell me, what does that feel like? And we'll talk about what the background was, how it got started and all of that. But tell me, what did it feel like on the, was it the 31st or the 30th?
Yeah, well, last week it was quite a thrill to stand at the True Values Solar Centre out at Tullamarine, which is Essendon's home facilities, and participate in a press conference with arguably our best player, Brendan Goddard, as part of that week's press conference for the big Essendon Sydney game. So it was really, you know, a thrill to know that the club not only supported this initiative, but wants to affirm its LGBTI fans and make the AFL workplace as for supporters a safe place, and it's not that it's an unsafe place.
That's my question. So why the word safe then, do you think, is used?
So safe in the sense that I can now attend a game and know that people aren't allowed to yell out derogatory homophobic phrases, whether they're ignorant or intentional. Like you can't be sexist or racist in your language. Mm. So,
just another extension of the same rules. It's just another group of people, isn't it? Right. Another minority.
And you know, LGBTI people are not visible at the football.
No.
We don't stand out. We just look like everybody else, yeah. which is good. But we hear.
Does it feel like then, as a supporter and sitting in the stands, and you hear these things? Have you ever been tempted to say anything, or have you said?
Yeah, I have. The really prevalent one was just a few years ago. Adrian and I were sitting in our reserve seats at Etihad Stadium, and suddenly behind me, I could just hear this guy right behind me. Mm. Yelling out, you know, pufter and faggot and other words at the players or umpires or whatever it was. I can't remember. Mm. And after about 15 minutes of that, it was like, oh, gosh. And then his daughter started on the left side of me behind, started yelling it out as well, like mimicking. And so we had it in stereo. And our son was probably 3 or 4 then, and he wasn't coming to the football at that point. And I just said to Adrian, I'm not an aggressive person and I'm not aggressive. So but I said to Adrian, I can't listen to this anymore because it wasn't just once, it was just nonstop. And I thought, we sit in these seats every week.
Yeah.
So I said to Adrian, I'm going to say something. So I turned around, didn't know what I was going to see or what was going to happen. My heart was in my throat.
So you didn't know who was it? What
I had
he
no idea.
Like, nothing.
Nah, and he's right behind me and he's been sitting there for the last season or two. And there's another game the following week. And I just remember, and I turned to him and I said, excuse me, and actually, he looked quite gay, which was quite funny. I got a shock. I said to him, I'm gay, and this is my husband next to me, and we'd really appreciate it if you used other words to describe your upset with what's going on in the field.
Yeah.
And I was, heart was beating a million miles an hour, and he, I think he apologized or something, but he never said another homophobic word again after that.
Wow.
But after that season, we moved seats.
Yeah. Do you feel that you are a little bit of a trailblazer with the Purple Bombers?
Yes, in the sense that the feedback the past week, people have contacted me off the internet, people have contacted the club, the feedback by thousands of people.
Is that right?
Yeah, thousands of people has been overwhelmingly positive. And people have been saying, oh, gee, I'm a Purple Bomber. It's about themselves. Or they've contacted their friends or family. One guy emailed me today and said, just want to let you know, my gay friend and his partner are coming to their very first football game on Friday, and they bought Essendon Guernseys as a result of seeing what you guys have done.
Really? And
I just thought, that's just fantastic, because it just means there's a sense now that if you're a gay or lesbian supporter, Essendon loves you like they love everybody else, and there's a place for you there. And I think that's, the club has an Essendon Football Club Respects program in place they launched this year, and they do. They actually are not being tokenistic about this. Mm, they actually really want to make it a safe place for everyone. And it's not even about a player coming out. It's about the fans and supporters and the people at the ground being safe. So I can bring my son and we can sit there and know that it's a safe place audibly for us to go to the football.
So you've mentioned your son a couple of times. How old is he?
He's eight.
So was there ever, as a father, in the back of your mind that I need to do this for my son?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah?
And he doesn't particularly like football at this point. He gets dragged along to day games, not to night games, but he'd rather play his iPad or read or something. But when his friends come, we bring a friend every now and then, has a great time, pays attention to the game, but I didn't like football till I was 12 or 13, so I understand that. But he and he's aware now that his daddy and his tatai, which is Filipino for dad, have had to put up with a lot of stuff. Yeah. And he's aware about that now. And I just want him to know that, we're doing something about that, that if when he grows up, I hope that he would contribute to the world that we live in, that he would try and make the world a tiny, tiny bit better place than it was before he was born. And I'd like to think that we're doing the same in just creating a safe environment, because unfortunately, because also this proves why we need to do this, I've also suffered quite a bit of abuse in social media this past week as well. So
from
people who are like, don't shove your thoughts down us. This is about football, not about agendas.
So how do you deal with that then?
I just it doesn't bother me anymore because I've been called everything under the sun all my life. But I just, you know, to be called, you know, a rich fag. What was another comment? That I've got a pet kid. And, you know, you've got the Christian lobby have even wrote, Bill Muhlenberg wrote a big article.
But they're always out there, though.
I understand
they're
that, but it's fine. But it's just, it's a sense of people are maybe entitled to those opinions, but they're not allowed to voice them anymore.
No, that's right. And as you just touched on, in a sense, what you're doing is proving why it's needed, yep. why it's so necessary. So then why do you think the other clubs, maybe there's some afoot, other plans for other clubs to have supporter groups like the Purple Bombers and like Pink Magpies, but why do you think they haven't?
I don't know. I just think it requires people to go, I want this to happen, and then to approach and to agitate for it. And you know, and that takes... So you say, am I a trailblazer? Maybe in the sense that I just am prepared to get up and do something.
Yeah.
But... And it requires people just to do that. And then, look, there are so many Essendon fans who have just sat there, not out at the football, if you like, not out at Essendon, if you like. And it's not that they're out in their life, I guess, but they've just not been, it's not been safe for them.
Yeah.
I was sitting at an Essendon function not that long ago, and half the people at the table were gay, but none of us knew that. And then the next time we saw each other, one of us was brave enough to go, this is my husband or whatever. Yeah. And suddenly, oh, and it was like, oh my gosh, we shouldn't be, you know, when you meet someone new at a table, normally you go, this is my wife or my husband or I've got kids, nobody cares. But we still have had to hide. And I think this has given, at least for Essendon fans, their permission to not hide anymore.
Yeah, and a platform.
And I think we need to be visible. And it's not that we want to have all the Purple Bomber fans sit in the one section of the football. No. It's not about that. Even doing events together is not really about that. It's about getting rid of that homophobia that still exists.
Yeah.
And the proof that it still exists is we have no out players in AFL football.
No. And I look, and do you know, I'm in two minds of thought. Sometimes I think I wish somebody would come out, and then I think, why? It's not my job, not my agenda. I shouldn't force someone to come out.
Oh, no, of course, but it's not safe for them to come out.
Yeah, that's right. But what do we do differently? Is it literally more clubs like you? More clubs like you have created, more people like-minded, talking more frequently, talking in more spaces. Is it literally just that?
I think it is, because you look at in swimming and you look at Mr. Thorpe and what he did recently, and then you look at what Matthew Mitchum did a while back, and then the British guy, Daly.
Yes, Tom Daly.
Yep. Diver. They, I think, help make it a safer place for Ian to do that.
Yeah.
And so I think there's this sense of I look forward to the day when nobody cares anymore.
I think we will get there. Oh, in fact, I know that we will get there, but there's always going to be doubters. There's always going to be agitators, as you said before, that we will never get.
And nothing comes, unfortunately, nothing comes easy. We have to fight for it always.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is a fight. I mean,
but you're certainly not coming across as a victim, though. People might say, you know, they might be listening, to, you know, and say, you know, it sounds like, but it's not. It literally is fighting. You have to, any minority has to fight for various things, numerous things.
And look, I'm only just being a voice for a lot of other people. This is not my crusade. I just, after 30 years of following football, know for a fact that there are lots of us out there who follow footy. If 3 to 5% of the entire football supporter base is LGBTI and up to 10% is, and then their families and friends, you're talking half of the crowd are connected there. Yeah. And I've seen that. I've seen people tag their friends who they know are gay or their brothers or sisters and say, look what Essendon's doing.
Yeah.
Because, like, wow, they're like, oh, okay, I don't need to – we don't – it's being visible.
Mm.
And I think that's what's brought the most of the change for us in the last 5 or 10 years is that most LGBTI people are now visible in their workplaces, are now intentionally visible in their life appropriately. And that means that everybody, well, most people would know somebody who's LGBTI.
Yeah.
And as a result, that decreases ignorance, and that they realise, oh, we're just regular people like everybody else.
And that's, and I know we don't like to say that we're normal and regular, but really we are. It's just a different sexual.
That's right. And you know what? The only thing that binds us all together is the homophobia we face anyway.
Yeah.
Because and it's not really about sex. It's actually about the fact that we're connected by what we've had to put up with.
Yeah.
And the fact that in Australia we're not equal.
Yeah. We actually. there's I think you touched on something outside that we totally unrelated to the Purple Bombers, I know, but you've been on a holiday.
Yes.
And you were, there was a story you wanted to tell me, but you didn't tell me the whole story. So tell me, unrelated to the Purple Bombers, as I said, but...
We had a break and our son wanted, because with Qantas now, they fly through Dubai to Europe instead of Singapore or Hong Kong or whatever. So we thought, oh, what's stopping Dubai? Even though I'm a bit worried about it because it's illegal to be gay there.
Yeah.
But I have a friend who works for Emirates and he's gay, and he said there's no problem as long as you're discreet. So we don't do public displays of affection anyway, unfortunately. That's probably sad, really. And that reminds me of another story. But we were coming, leaving Dubai. Oh, when we arrived at Dubai, we arrived at the hotel, and I booked a room that I had two queen beds, is what I thought it had. And they've given me a king bed room, and he's looked at me and he said, do you want another room? You have a king bed room.
Because you're traveling with who, though?
With my husband and son.
Yep.
And it's 5 a.m. And I said, no, that's fine. I'm not going to go into explanations about our family construction. Yep. And then he asked me again, do you want another room? Because we just have a king bed for... I said, no, that's fine. He asked me a third time. So we slept in that big king bed room. It was great. But when we returned, leaving, no problems going in, the immigration guy gets our three passports with the same last names and says to Adrian, how old are you? The passport should say that. I don't understand why I asked him. And Adrian said 41. And then it became apparent to me that he thinks I am Adrian's father. Now I'm 44.
You young looking dad.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And then obviously Ruben's my grandson or something. I don't know what he was thinking. And I just said to him, I thought, shit, we're leaving. What do I say here? Ruben's watching. And he says to me, and I said to him, look, I thought, blow it, I'm just going to say.
Are you fearful of what might happen?
Yes, because we can go, I don't know what they're going to do. And I just said to him, this is my husband and this is our son and we are a family. And he then looked at me and he sort of smiled and waved us through.
Oh, my God.
So that was a bit stressful.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of mindset that puts you in at that stage.
Look, as a parent, Adrian and I have been very good at, when we meet, particularly earlier on, when you meet someone new, it's straight away, hi, I'm Jason. This is my husband, Adrian, and our son, Ruben.
Ground rules in the beginning,
So if you do that in the first 10 seconds.
Yeah, done.
It just protects him and us. And most people are not rude enough to say something to your face.
Yeah.
Even though you get a giveaway the first second in their eyes, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm not a victim. I don't care. It's fine. But there's a long way to go.
Oh, of course there is. Look, we're going to have a little break and have a chat when we come back a little bit about what how hard it was to get the Purple Bombers up and running, what some of your challenges might have been, and what are some of the highlights so far.
Hey you, stand up straight with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
So I am having a chat with Purple Bombers founder Jason Toison McSheen, which I'm going to try and get perfectly pronounced.
Yeah, I've got it perfectly and I don't care anymore.
I'm probably not the first one.
No.
So one of the – I love the idea, as I said at the beginning of the show, that someone's come up with this as an idea, seen the need and stood up and taken charge. So can you tell me, do you remember when that tiny first seed of an idea came into your mind?
Yep, so that was 18 months ago at the chairman's season launch for the football club. I sponsor Brendan Goddard and I was sitting at the table, which I sort of mentioned before, and realised that half of us at the table were gay, and none of us knew, and it was like, oh, I can't do this anymore. It's crazy. But then that literally was February, and then all the Asada stuff happened.
Yeah.
And then I married someone who worked at the Essen Football Club in April, May of last year, and just had a chat with him and said, who's the person to speak to if I wanted to start an LGBTI supporter group? And he gave me the details, but because Essen was doing a lot of stuff, it wasn't the right time.
Yeah.
And then at the start of this year, I thought, no, this is the right time now. And I approached them and have had, five or six meetings with various appropriate people at the Essen Football Club, and that's how it sort of happened.
Did you... was two questions. Did you ever feel that you couldn't do it? First question. But secondly, how did they receive you? How did they with your first initial conversation?
Well, the first initial conversation was canvassed in the context of a pride round as well.
Yeah.
So I think the anti-homophobia stance is what gives it credibility, not just having a social group.
Hmm.
So And they were very keen and warm about both ideas to start with. And I think it's because of the AFL and different things, but it's not off the table, but the Pride game is a medium-term goal, not a short-term goal.
Yeah.
And they were very receptive. They were like, we want to do something that's not tokenistic, something that's embedded in the club in a permanent way, mm-hmm. in a way that's is respectful to everybody and embraces, you know, the Essendon Football Club respects thing, which it does. And part will be part of the website, just part of the fabric of the club forever.
That was my question. So how woven into the Essendon Football Club is it?
I don't know
it?
If you've seen the Essendon website.
But I have.
It's probably the best website for an AFL club, actually.
And second best, really. Come on. There is Hawthorne.
The colours don't make it a good website. I just think it's the functionality of it. So, but it'll be part of the fabric of the club. And the proof in the pudding is that the way they launched it last week, they did their own. They've got their own TV show, and they did a whole segment on that that was screened yesterday.
And Brendan Goddard
has been very supportive and happy to, you know, as a straight ally, happy to stand up for what he knows is right as well. And I really am just encouraged by that. So never at any stage did I think it wasn't going to happen, but I have said to them, I want you to be brave, and. Because no one's done this yet.
Do you think they have to be?
The Pride game. I think there's an element of braveness. Yeah. And I think they've been brave in doing what they did last week because it wasn't a small splash. It was and they've received some flack from some people, but generally it's been really positive and they're really impressed. And so, you know, and if you have positive thoughts about Essendon doing this, you should email them and tell them that because the more they hear from people that this is a great addition, the more courage they have. This is happening. This is not going to happen.
Yeah.
And the process is in place to make sure this is ready for next season. But the idea of you know, staying there and having a game around being visible and around diversity and around anti-homophobia would be extraordinary.
Mm.
And no club has been prepared to actually do that yet.
Takes courage, doesn't it?
And it's been really nice to hear the Essendon Football Club say, you know, we embrace our gay and lesbian supporters.
Have there been hurdles along the way? No doubt there must have been some.
No, not really. Just Essendon's got other things on its plate. So there
what
was
about for you then? Were there hurdles for you in dealing with the club at all? Or other people?
You know, in my life, I just feel like I'm ready for this. So I just felt like it was sort of that it's the right time.
Right time.
Mm. And so... And, you know, I'm not young, I'm not old, but I have enough experience to sort of know what needs to happen here. And so they've been really good and they've treated me with respect and seriousness and they've given the Purple Bombers what it deserves in regards to respect and coverage. And that's brave.
Have they been curious as to why? Have they?
Yeah, they understand why. I told them the stories. I told them the story about the guy and his daughter behind me. I also told them the story about when I was a teenager. I won't mention the player's name, but one of Essendon's all-time great players was playing in the 80s. I remember him saying on TV, gay people aren't welcome in our club.
Wow. And you remember that vividly?
Yeah, I remember that, as a teenager. Because I'm in the closet, and and I love footy, and I'm like, oh, it was my sort of that really hurt.
Mm.
And I told them that story and this story, and they're like, oh, no, this is not what it's like now.
Yeah.
And almost they want to prove that it wasn't like that now. And even I remember speaking to Brendan at a function a few months back when I talked to him about the Purple Bombers. And he was really warm. And I said to him, what's it like on the playing field? Is there any homophobia, like, do you know, amongst the playing group? No, not at all. He said, there's nothing.
So is it the crowd?
There's nothing because this is Generation X or Y or Z or whatever they are. And they don't have all this learned baggage that older people do. And it's interesting, you know, just the country we live in right now, we're being led by a stack of white, Anglo, wealthy, Christian, older men. And that is not really representative of the entire population. And in some ways, I can't wait for them to all to sort of move on because it's the people coming after them don't have these same thoughts.
Yeah,
and
they don't have.
Because it's learned. Homophobia is learned.
Of course it is. But I also think that, and I know from my experience at the football, and yes, I do go to the football occasionally, is that years ago you wouldn't stand up to someone you'd just sit quietly, you know, you'd be on the tram or you'd be, you know, out in the street or in a restaurant. But nowadays it's almost like there's a permission to speak. And I know I heard, and I've told this story before, that I was at the football and there were just those homophobic words that they were yelling out with this venom.
Yeah, venom, yes.
It's awful and it's ugly. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to say and I couldn't be cool and calm. And in the end I just said to him, "Hey, that's not cool. Stop it." And sometimes it's even something like that that you can say.
But now you can text the clown and now there's permission to go, if you hear that sort of language, you can actually say no. Like, you can't say racist stuff anymore.
No, and nobody...
And you get kicked out, but that's good.
Yeah, and everyone... And I know when you hear things at the football... that's racist, homophobic or whatever, everyone turns around. It's like the crowd judges.
So there's a visibility now and it's appropriate, doesn't it? And even, and I probably did this when I was growing up, I used to, you know, there's so much sexist language too, like, you know, calling something, you're a girl.
You're a girl. You throw like a girl. You kick like a girl.
What is wrong with being a girl?
Hello.
And I think homophobia is connected to sexism. I told the club that. I said, if you take care of homophobia, you probably improve sexism issues as well, because somehow being a man, being feminine is a bad thing.
How have your family and friends reacted to what you're doing? Did anyone try and say, no, it's too hard, you can't do it, or no, don't bother, or...
Maybe quietly they did, I don't know. Yeah. But not to my face, they've been really supportive. And I'm just proud as punch that at least when I say I'm going to do something or get something, it gets done.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people around who say they're going to do something and never do it. And I hope I'm not one of those persons. So they've been really good. And I think, and they're stoked. And I've just seen people, the fact that there are, you know, two guys bought new Guernseys and going to a game tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Is a wonderful thing, and it's a good thing for the club. And I told the club, I said, you be the first club to really stand up against homophobia. You're going to get a lot of new members.
Yeah.
And you're going to, at a Pride game, you'd get an extra 10 or 15,000 people that day.
Because
you'd have friends and family saying, I'm going.
As an ally. And
I think it's a massive thing. And I've said to them, please be brave.
Do you think they think it's going to be too hard, so therefore let's put it on the back burner? And so until somebody tries to almost sell the idea and the pluses and the bonuses that you'll get out of it, that until they actually realise that, they won't do anything?
Yeah, and it's probably a step-by-step process. So this is the next step, and then the Pride match is the step after that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the committee that will form sometime between now and summertime the main objective won't be let's have social gatherings. It'll be how do we help Essendon stamp out homophobia and be a leader in that, and how do we establish a Pride game? And that's what we will petition the club for. And so if you're interested in being a part of that, or being, you know, a purple bomber, go to the website and send your details through, because the more people, if we have 500 people, that's massive.
Yeah.
You know, just, and I know there's already a couple of hundred people. So if we, it just, it's massive. And then suddenly 500 people saying, hey, club, this is what we want to do.
But I think it's not only just the Essendon Football Club, it's really any club. So if there's two clubs out there that have got supporter groups.
And it'd be great if we had a supporter group in every club, and we had the Blue Demons and the red Blues and the
Rainbow Hawks.
Yellow Hawks.
Rainbow Hawks. I think that's what we should call it.
But if we have all the colours of the rainbow.
So would you go and talk to other clubs, do you think, about getting them to jump aboard, same idea?
It really requires someone who's connected to each club to do that.
Yeah.
Because, to be honest with you, it's all hard work.
Of course. But so is anything.
It takes time. And I can't, you know, I only have enough energy to focus on a couple of things.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of it. And I'm not paid to do any of this. It's all voluntary.
No, of course.
And, you know, I don't... there's more than one gay in the village, so it's time for everybody to do their bit, you know.
Yeah. We're going to take another break and going to come back and have a bit more of a chat to Jason, who is the founder of the Purple Bombers. Actually, just on that, question without notice, purple in the logo. How hard was it to get that?
The club are fantastic. I picked purple because it's pink magpies already exist, but rainbow is a bit overused, and rainbow can be used in other ways. And purple is the feminist and the coming out royal colour.
Yeah.
And it's also the Pantone colour of the year. And it's just a colour that non-gender specific and is a gay colour.
Yeah, it looks fabulous if they go and have a look on the website.
And I said to them, please, this is what I imagine. Can you do purple around the fighter, and then we have the Essendon logo, and they put it together for us. It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Can't wait to have a T-shirt with it on.
I bet there's some of those in the pipeline.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a moment.
Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
So I'm chatting with Jason Twazon McShane, and he is the founder of the Purple Bombers, which has been in existence for, what, 7 days now, do we say?
6 days.
Ooh, you're nearly a week. So it's nearly your anniversary.
Yeah,
so.
It's 1 week anniversary.
Yeah. So one of the things that impressed me when I was doing some research was what your mission statement is, which I'm actually going to read out. The Purple Bombers are a group of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex men, women and family members who support the Essendon Football Club. The Purple Bombers are one of many supporter groups that make up the diverse and rich culture of the Bombers, and their work aims to inspire diversity amongst our supporter base. The long-term aim of the group is to have its members meet socially, travel to interstate matches, establish an AFL Pride March, and fundamentally share their passion and support of the mighty Bombers. While the group is in its infancy, we are calling for registrations of interest and support from the Bombers community, both locally, interstate and abroad. So probably the ideal time to say, what can they do to join up? How can they do it?
The best way is to go to the Essendon Football Club website, mm-hmm. essendonfc.com.au, do a search for the Purple Bombers, and there's a registration page where they can fill in their details.
Fantastic.
And the club are compiling that, and then they will, if you want to be on the committee level, there'll be an opportunity shortly to meet,
mm-hmm.
and if you just want to be an actual member and then be part of the group and, yeah. and receive the newsletters and whatever, that will be an opportunity that will present itself shortly as well. So that's the easiest way to do it.
Easiest way.
It'll actually be a paid add-on membership component. So if you're not an Essendon member, you can actually have that as a standalone membership, or it can add on to your regular one. And I'm hoping that there'll be a T-shirt and a sticker and a couple of things as part of that as well. And then you know, when we do stuff together, which Pride March would be one of those events, I think, be fantastic.
Yeah. It's really any club within the league could substitute their word, their name, their logo and everything, and it's the same, isn't
it? It'd be great to have the Blue Demons, the Yellow Hawks, the Orange Dockers, whatever, and have the whole rainbow there. And I just imagine having, you know, 18 supporter groups.
It would be phenomenal. So really, if we want this change to start at a grassroots level, anybody can pick up the phone and contact their club, start the ball rolling, just make the contact.
And if you're a member of an actual club, then you've got some currency.
Correct.
And you can go and say, I've been a member, I have been for 30 years, and the club will listen to them. And I think the Pink Magpie started it, and we're continuing it, and I think we can pave the way for, you know, for visibility in the AFL.
What sort of feedback have you had, if any, from the AFL?
I haven't heard anything in particular. They are strangely quiet about this stuff. And I know our, you know, dear friends like Jason Ball are working really hard with them as well. But they did say a few months ago that they're open to a Pride match if two clubs approach them.
Yeah.
And so we need to hold them accountable to that statement.
Yeah, you do. Hopefully. And do you think it might be next year, would you think? Or is it too soon to know?
I would hope so, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I was more confident of it being next year a couple of months ago than I am now, but we'll see.
There's a little bit of a devil's advocate type question, and it's not meant to be offensive or anything like that, but some people might say, are you creating separation and not inclusion?
No, people have said, some people have said
that. Oh, they have?
Yes. And it's like, no, it's just about being visible and having a safe environment. So we're not all going to sit together in some area cordoned off or something. It's just about, okay, I love the footy and the club loves me back.
Yeah. Do you think that that's perhaps what people have in their mind, is that you're all going to kind of sit off together?
But they already have that in their mind anyway, by the fact that we even, you know, have this Joy radio station and we...
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just about having a voice, you know. We need to have our own voice in all parts of life, just like any other minority has their voice. And who better to have their own voice than LGBTI persons themselves? And, you know... So, no, I don't think that we're not in the ghetto.
No, I don't
think that's at all what it's about. I don't even concerned about us having lots of social functions. It's actually about, because there are actually gay people who've contacted me this week who barrack for Essendon, who are so overwhelmed by what's happened. They can't believe it, and they felt so isolated.
Gosh.
And then for just to know that there are other gay fans, and if they want to connect with them, they can, but if they want to, they can go to the game and go, oh, my club loves me.
I'm taking it by the look on your face that perhaps you hadn't anticipated that.
Yeah, I'm a bit shocked at how much it is, but I did anticipate it because it was only a year ago when I was at the table at an Essendon function, and there were all these gay people were afraid to tell each other that they were. Not that it's like, hi, I'm Jason, I'm gay. It's just, no, hi, I'm Jason, and this is my husband who's with me. Whereas if I had a wife, I'd instantly say, given, this is my wife, my girlfriend, or, correct. You know.
You don't have to say anything, actually.
No, in fact they just assume it's your girlfriend.
They call it straight privilege, yeah. I think. Yeah.
And so that's why, so devil's advocate question is good, but that's the answer to that question, I think.
So I would like to thank you so, so much for joining me. It's been a really interesting conversation, and I think I'd probably learn a lot more about the mindset of you and the club, but probably more importantly, why it was so important. I think that you, in fact, I know you'll be tremendously successful. There will be an influx of members, I'm quite sure, and you will be able to sit back when you're in your rocking chair on your veranda when your son's 40, and you'll be able to say, I did that, I created that, I set that up, that was me. And I think it's pretty, we don't realise sometimes what we do when we're doing it. And I think what you're doing is a very brave thing. And I hope you, in fact, are you proud of yourself? Are you?
I'm just proud to be part of an awesome community. I just know that there's so many of us who are doing good things, and we're actually working together. Mm. And it's really, that's something I've just noticed really the last 2 years in particular. And it's really a privilege. So I'm proud, yes, in that sense. And I just hope to make the world a slightly better place than what it was before I entered it.
I know you are. And for one more last time for the people that want to join up.
Go to the snnfc.com.au to the website. Look up the Purple Bombers. There's a story on there, and there's the Hangar TV show, and you'll see the registration page where you can send your details through.
Fantastic. So thank you so much for joining me,
Jason. Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And all the best success in the world.
Thank you.
Melbourne's most uplifting station, Joy 94.9.
So, guys, up next is the gorgeous Joy. I have to talk her up because she always talks to me at the beginning of her show, from the Spirit Lounge. And I'm now also going to leave you with your weekly challenge. What will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement? You've been listening to Michelle Barber on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.